Good to have it home, Stacy.
Good to see everybody here. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's stand to read God's Word tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Would somebody find out where they got the Lord's Supper? They get this in here and then we won't disturb the preaching. All right. Beginning verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for what you've given to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of coming together, especially the time to take the Lord's Supper. And Lord, I pray you just help us, Lord, as we look into it tonight, be a blessing and help and encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The holy ordinance or the order that God gave of the Lord's Supper has always been in high estimation by the followers of Christ in every age, from the beginning after Jesus Christ. You remember the first Lord's Supper they had, that was the night that he was betrayed. The night he betrayed, he took bread. And then he gave the cup and he said, drink. And the first Christians frequently attended this celebration. It's a celebration. It is what we call the love feast. There are two orders that God gives us, two ordinances in the local church. One is baptism. After a person accepts Christ as a personal Savior, it is his responsibility to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Down in the water and up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No question about it. Romans chapter 6 tells us so many of us were baptized into his death. It also says that someone plants something in the ground, it grows up. And so he's silly trying to explain, without question, illustrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the first Christians frequently attended celebration. It seemed to have been the principal object of their meeting. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says, And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech until midnight. We're not going that long tonight, I promise you. Amen. Thank you for that one laugh. I appreciate it. I give you a quarter after service. Amen. In our day, it has been, unfortunately, abused, the Lord's Supper. Some say it's a substitute for salvation. Some say the only way you can be saved is to take the Lord's Supper. Others have treated it with neglect and have excused themselves on the ground that they view it a mere ceremony. But if you read in the Scriptures, it said, take, eat. It commands us. It commands us to examine ourselves. It commands us to drink. It's our responsibility to think of those things. It's our responsibility that when we take the Lord's Supper to remember that that bread was an illustration of the crushed bread or the broken bread or the bread that is broke illustrates about the body of Jesus Christ. And of course, the juice illustrates the blood of Jesus Christ. To the enlightened Christian who considers it an ordinance of God, one bearing the impress of divine authority, immediately connected with the grand leading doctrine of Christianity, and truly adapts to promote his growth in holiness and joy, that he would do more for God than ever before after he takes the Lord's Supper. It's a cleansing tool. It's a time that we come and we reflect on what's going on in our lives, how we act, how we think, and all that. And we come to God and we say, Dear God, and we use the scripture, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is our responsibility to come before God with a holy heart. It's our responsibility to come to God with a clean heart. And he said, hey, get it taken care of so that you won't be judged with the world. Make sure your heart is right before it. Let a man examine himself. And I've said it many times that when a man is examining himself, all of a sudden we all become singular. It is our responsibility to examine our own heart. Come on in, girls, sit down. Hurry. I want you to look at the importance of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He said, this is what I received from God. And he said, this is a called a divine ordinance. Verse 23 of chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord, and you could put Jesus Christ there, that which also I deliver unto you. He said, there was a problem at the church of Corinth. I went to God. This is what God has given me to tell you. This is how you take the Lord's Supper. Also, he said, I deliver this unto you. It was instituted immediately by Jesus and enjoined by his divine authority. A service may be striking, splendid, and perhaps useful, but it cannot be binding unless it is based on the direct authority of God. Being thus sanctioned, it is an obligatory. It's obligatory to us that we who possess his name and he represents it, we take the Lord's Supper. He calls it a symbolic ordinance. He took bread. The symbol are bread and juice. One referring to the Lord's body and the other to the precious blood. The breaking of bread refers to the bruising of the sacred person. The pouring out of juice represents the blood that washed for our redemption. He cleanses us. The eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup refer to our actual participation of the benefits of the Savior's death. It's a serious thing. Lord's Supper is a very serious thing. We call it the love feast. We call it a time that we come together corporately, but we also come individually. We come together as a church. We come together to observe the Lord's Supper. You've probably seen sometimes chaplains go into a jail or they'll come into a hospital and administer the Lord's Supper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I must tell you that it is a local church's deal to do it. It's not. It's when we come together, when we assemble together. It is not our dictates and the doctrines that we believe in the Word of God. So if you're about to die and you ask for a Lord's Supper, that's kind of defeating the purpose, because some people believe that if you take the Lord's Supper before you die, you go to heaven and all your sins are forgiven. Where do you find that? It's not in the Bible. I've been asked to do it. And I said, I'm sorry, I won't do it. There's plenty of other chaplains do it, but as an independent Baptist, the way I believe this Word of God and the way I take the doctrines of the Word of God, it is a local church operation. It is not a one-on-one operation. And if you don't know this, as a chaplain, we don't do things that would go against our biblical beliefs. And I'll just say, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry. If that's what you, I want to make an issue of it, because that's not my responsibility to make an issue of it. But I'll say, hey, let me call Chaplain so-and-so, and he'll take care of that for you. So the Lord's Supper is set up for a corporate, a family affair. But once the family gets together, we go to God separately. I don't pray for my wife. She don't pray for me. I don't pray for my children. I'm all by myself. I don't pray for my church people. At that moment, when I sit down at that Lord's Supper, when I read the scriptures and when I pray, when I'm on my knees up there praying, I'm praying for myself. That's not being selfish. It's just being what the Bible says. So we come together as a group. We come together as a body. But then there is a time in the Lord's Supper that we must let a man examine himself. And that's our job. He called it a commemorative ordinance. We are directed by Christ to do it. In who? Remembrance of Him. To keep up the lively remembrance of our Savior. This morning, I don't know about you, but I was blessed by our Independence Day service this morning. I'm blessed by it. I'm blessed by the fantastic music we had. And I was blessed by the study in the Word of God that I was able to study to get some of the history about the Independence Day. Well, that just reminds us what we're coming. We were out at Chad Marsh's and Chad had all these statistics that said, the Independence Day was the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, thank you, and said that, the different days have done and who did what and why did John Hancock write his name so big. Does anybody know why he wrote it so big? Yeah, John, I know you do it. I know, Jim, you probably do. He wrote it so, tell me, John. So the king of England didn't have to put his spectacles on to see that John Hancock signed his name to the Declaration of the Independence. Hallelujah! In your face, king! That's what it was about, And it's told about, and they had a whole bunch of these little different, I thought, man, I never heard of that. That's pretty cool, man. And we can always learn from everybody, can't we? But, tonight, as we come to the Lord's Supper, we should be constantly reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We should be constantly reminded of the terrible, terrible, terrible pain that the Lord Jesus Christ went through for our salvation. And what He gave. He gave His whole life. He was God. He was the creator of this universe. He spoke and the world came into existence. That same God walked this earth. Remember when they said, show us the Father and suffice us. He said, you see me, you've seen the Father. I don't understand it all. One man said, if you try to explain the Trinity, you go insane. If you try to disprove this Trinity, you go to hell. Amen. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But it's an incredible thing about God. God has allowed us to get enough seen, get enough to look at, and said, this is God. This God came to this earth. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross. His body was so emaciated that you couldn't even hardly tell he was a human being. Yet, in 3 days, he rose from the grave. Hallelujah. To keep our lively remembrance of our Savior, to keep our lively remembrance of His person and His love and His suffering, especially of their end and design and our deep interest in that Lord's Supper, because it illustrates who we love and who's given His love for us. It also calls for us a profession of our ordinance. In this we do show forth the Lord's death. This too, we keep up the remembrance of the events in the world. We show our faith in it. We take the Lord's Supper. Our neighbor sees us. Our friend sees us. Our wife sees us. Our children see us. Our hope of it shows our love, our obedience to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, take, eat. Our separation, he said, hey, don't live for the world, live for me. It talks about the distinction of those who disbelieve and those who believe, those who despise or those who neglect it. Boy, it shows that I love the Lord, and I love the responsibility God has given to us. He also calls us to Christian social ordinance. Unlike secret duties, when we retire into solitude, also unlike the public means where saints and sinners, professors and profane might mingle indiscriminately, in the family ordinance for all those of the household of faith, for all those who are spiritually kindred to the Savior, it is for us called out assembly of baptized believers, the house of faith, the ecclesia, the church, that we would come together and have such an institution as we have tonight as the Lord's Supper. He also calls for a perpetual ordinance. It should continue on. You do show the Lord's death till he comes. Has the Lord come yet? Nope. So we just keep doing it. Until, the Lord may not come until 3,000. I don't know. I was hoping yesterday. I had a friend of mine who's taking a test. He said, boy, I hope God comes before I have to take this test. Amen. Somebody said, I hope the Lord comes so I don't have to pay this bill. He calls us to a perpetual ordinance. You show the Lord death coming from his first to his second coming. The gospel is to be preached. Salvation streams are to flow. Prayer is to be continued. And the death of the Savior is to be perpetuated. The sacrifice retains all its virtue and its efficacy. It means that it continues to be very efficient and shall be acceptable to all believers. Thank God that we were sinners. Christ saved us. Until he comes a second time without a sin offering unto eternal salvation of his people. I am so thrilled that I get to take the Lord's Supper tonight. I am so thrilled that when the plates are placed there with the broken wafers and the juice comes, we can say in our heart, we believe that Jesus Christ's body was broken for us. And his blood was shed for us so that we could be made free. The Lord's Supper does not save us. It is a symbol. It does not save us. It's like putting on the uniform. It's telling people, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. It says, hey neighbor, I want you to know that I believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. I believe that he's coming again. I believe he rose from the grave and he's coming again. I believe that with all my soul, with all my heart. If you don't, then you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper. This is a table for the brethren. This is a table for brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the love feast. You know, let me say this. Tonight, let's say somebody comes into our church. Comes to my home. And he's a member of the ISIS. He's a Muslim. And we know that this man has done some terrible things. And he says, I'm hungry. And we're having our family over tonight. Guess what? He's not coming inside my house. Somebody said, well, then give him a bacon cheese sandwich. No. In love, I'd feed him. But I would not let him in my house. I wouldn't let him in my house. I wouldn't want to be around my little children. The Lord's Supper is kind of like that. If you're not part of the family, you're not take this. This is not for you. We'll feed you someplace. We'll clothe you. But this is not for you. This is not for the ungodly. This is not for the atheists. This is not for people who do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts, all soul, all their mind. This is the time we come together to fellowship, to enjoin together. We say, when we take that bread, I believe that Jesus Christ, His body was broken for me. When we take that cup, I believe that this blood was shed for me because Jesus Christ died on the cross so that I could go to heaven someday, and I've invited Him to come in. This is also a table of responsibility. Once a person accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, the first thing their job is to do is get baptized, get immersed in the water, down in the water and up out of the water. If you haven't done that, you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper unless you're planning on doing it tonight. If you want to get baptized tonight so you can take the Lord's Supper, hey, that's great. Let's do it. Do what God told you to do. Or to be baptized, amen. Show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you haven't, you have no right to that because you're disobedient to the Word of God. That's why He said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It's our responsibility. It's a serious thing. But it's a wonderful thing. Hey, you know what? I'm glad I get to take the Lord's Supper tonight. I'm glad I get to enjoy the individuality that God gives us at the Lord's Supper. But I also enjoy the community, the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ who raise that wafer and put it in their mouth and raise that cup and say, I believe in this with my whole heart. I hope tonight that you take the Lord's Supper carefully. You understand it is a responsibility of us Christians to take it because Jesus said, take, eat. That's a command. Drink it. That's a command. He said, remember. It's a command. Remember what He's done for us. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for tonight. Thank You for the promise of heaven. Thank You for the promise of knowing for sure if we die today, we'd go to heaven. Dear God, help us tonight as we take the Lord's Supper. Be a blessing and help and encouragement. Lord, I just pray that You just help us tonight as we look in our hearts and we look in the things that we need to get taken care of. Lord, You told us that we ought to confess our sins and do right before You, Lord God. We ought to live unspotted from the world. Dear God, I pray You'd speak to our hearts now. Lord, if there's anything, Holy Spirit, would You show us? Would You take that eternal light and shine in our hearts and our lives and show us if there's in the deep crevices of anything that would be in there that we need to confess and ask forgiveness of. Lord, now speak to our hearts. And we love You so much, Lord Jesus. And thank You that we can take Your supper tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask